This is a podcast from RTE Radio.
And the following is the result.
The first count in Galway West.
And it's not easy. Election counts aren't easy for any candidate.
The total poll, 49,944. Boyle votes, 478.
I deem them to be elected.
Hello and welcome to The Constituency. I'm Rachel English, and over the coming weeks I hope to bring you a flavour of the issues, the characters and the battles that will shape the next general election. I'll be reporting on the 43 contests that will ultimately decide who forms the next government. And for the first programme, I've come to a place of keen sporting and political rivalries.
In the senior hurling semi-final, both Kilmaurs and the Ballinlough Shankleman play as selected.
We're standing here outside Páirc Uí Chaoimh. A politician calls to your door within the next couple of months. What do you want to hear from him or her?
I want to hear the important things about the environment and keeping the country going like it is today and with Prosperous and Fianna Fáil are doing that, I think, right now.
And would you always be a Fianna Fáil man or would you switch around?
No, I'd switch around to depend on the people and their sayings at the time and what they stand for.
What do you think of Bertie Ahern?
Bertie's all right. He's okay. The country's good under him. That's all. And what he took, I do the same myself in the circumstances. It's only peanuts in comparison to what people took before him.
Yeah, I'd say Hilton, all those things like, there's a lot of, a lot of problems in A&E and all that, isn't there? And there seem to be, everything seems to be going up, don't it? Do you know, prices and all that. So, like, it was, a change wouldn't be any harm for a bit. I'm not fully politics at all, I'll tell you the truth, but like, fella was good, like, if, you know, local man, that'd be it.
What do you make of the business involving Bertie Ahern over the past few weeks?
I wouldn't be for it at all. They're all saying, like, that he was right, but I mean, it's the position you can't be doing that for the Minister for Finance. As you know yourself, aren't you? Trained by a good master as well.
I suppose the hospital, improvements in the hospital service, really, you know, because health affects us all, you know. And the waiting lists really are ridiculous.
And at this stage, have you decided now who you'll vote for? Or is your vote there? Is it still there to get?
My vote is an old vote. I've always been a Fianna Fáil supporter and I can't see myself changing.
You're here outside Páirc Uí Chaoimh. If a politician comes knocking at your door over the next few weeks, what do you want to hear from them?
I would like to hear about employment, the rise in it and keep people working and things like that, you know?
What do you think of the politicians we have at the moment? Do you have any particular favourites?
Well, it wouldn't be a very favourable man with them now at the moment, but I wouldn't be really interested myself now.
I have to ask then, if they do come knocking at your door over the next few months, will you even answer the door to them?
I wouldn't know. No.
Well, I suppose health would be the main issue anyway. Improvement in health.
What do you think then of the state of the health services at the moment, if it is a big issue for you?
Well, at the moment, I'm still waiting, you know. People in trolleys in this day and age, it's not on. It's 2006.
What do you think of the big political figures at the moment? Bertie Ahern, Enda Kenny, Pat Rabbit?
They're all the same, girl.
Certainly will be the health, I would say. That's going to be the big one.
I think housing, definitely, for young people. It's a joke. Trying to get a deposit, and the house, they're gone beyond them. I have a son, I was just telling Jan that... he's gone halves with another lad to buy a house. That's the only way they can do it. You know, they can't do it on their own.
For decades, Cork City has been politically dominated by the big two, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Bertie Ahern's party currently holds 6 of the city's 10 seats. But after the drubbing of 2002, Enda Kenny's party has just 2 seats. The other sitting TDs are Kathleen Lynch of the Labour Party in North Central and the Greens' Dan Boyle in South Central. There are big boundary changes and the northern constituency is dropping from 5 seats to 4. Now, over the next few months, we'll be hearing from dozens of candidates of all parties and of none. But for this first programme, I've been speaking to the backroom teams of the two parties who aspire to lead the next government, the so-called grassroots, the sort of people who, between now and polling day, will be knocking on doors, plastering lampposts in posters and crunching numbers. So do people tell them that they're mad?
Yes, every single day of the week. They kind of wonder where the interest comes from, number one, why I would bother spending my precious time and energy with the political party, canvassing, doing all the bits and pieces and that. But I get a kick out of it. I get massive enjoyment about it. And I feel that as a person, it's nice to have an interest in what goes on nationally around the place as well.
I'm with two Fine Gael activists, Irene Hegarty from the North Central constituency and Katrina Fitzpatrick from South Central. They're having a cup of tea and mulling over the opinion poll results, which indicated that a return to government is not on the cards.
Certainly, yeah, people do think you're mad, but I think, unfortunately, there's a bit of a gap after growing between, you know, the actual people and their thought of their representatives, and people don't make the connection anymore.
Would you accept, though, that for some people politics is seen in this country as being a wee bit grubby, and that's not confined to any one party? People might look at the tribunals over the past decade and say, God, would I really want to be involved in that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you have a scandal that unfolded 3 weeks ago when you have a Taoiseach who's, it's perfectly acceptable for him to take, you know, money, 8,000 sterling for speaking. Of course, I mean, I personally think he tarnished politics hugely by that. And the polls did show that people did feel he was wrong.
Yet, Irene, those polls also showed that while many people didn't necessarily agree with Bertie Ahern taking the money all those years ago, they didn't want to penalise him for it either.
No, they certainly didn't. I think there was possibly, in relation to the whole poll situation, I suppose the kind of, a lot of people kind of felt sorry for him initially, and they probably looked at the humane side of it as well, that, you know, he was going through a separation, and that probably factored people's perception then at the end of it.
It must be devastating for yourselves, though. After a couple of weeks where there was a huge focus on politicians, you look at last week's opinion polls, and the numbers weren't good for Fine Gael.
It was disappointing initially, but I mean, there's polls obviously coming out on a regular basis now leading up to the general election. So obviously I think Fine Gael nationally will factor all of that in and will hope that, say, come maybe April or May of next year, that, you know, it's an issue that's set aside now, but they'll obviously look ahead and will factor their own performance from here on in.
Katrina, what would you say then to somebody who'd say, listen, Enda Kenny had loads of publicity over the past few weeks. He had an open goal and he couldn't score.
Well, I think he definitely did score. I mean, the media had a part to play in this as well, and a lot of people thought they dragged this out too long. I wouldn't be devastated at all by that poll, that, you know, people didn't think that, you know, Enda Kenny was, you know, great at, you know, that time based on that issue. I mean, I certainly didn't find it devastating at all myself.
Realistically, the party's best chance of electoral gain in Cork City is in South Central, where Deirdre Clune is attempting to regain the seat she lost in 2002. So how many pavements will Katrina Fitzpatrick be pounding?
All of them. Every door. We have to go to every door once, if not twice. We have three candidates. We could be out three times, you know, once with each candidate. Huge work out canvassing. A lot of work trying to get our message across to people. And meeting people is very, very important. Hearing the issues so that we know ourselves what the issues in the area are. So when our two TDs hopefully get elected, they know what the issues of the people that elect them are.
I'm in the northern suburb of Knocknaheeny on my way to meet Paula Clancy, who's a health worker with Niche, a community health project, and a mother of two girls. In her experience, what are the issues that matter to local people?
Well, housing. Housing at the moment is a huge issue. There's not enough housing at the moment, plus the housing that is available, there's no central heating. They're very damp. The infrastructure falls far short of what people should be getting. The housing is just totally inadequate. My own issues would be disability. As I have a little girl with disabilities, I find it very hard to access help for her. And plus the childcare supplement, I was very upset with that as well. Like, it's €1,000 a year for kids under six. But when they turn six, is it they have to look after themselves, that they no longer need someone to look after them? And especially with a child with a disability, they actually need more help. So in turn, you actually need more money to pay someone to look after your child if you want to come out and work. She's 10 now, she actually can't walk, and I physically have to carry her up and down the stairs to her bed every night. The bed I have is just an ordinary bed as well. I'm actually still waiting on a bed as well that I was promised 12 months ago, a special bed that I can actually put up and down.
So what would you like to hear then from any aspiring TD who knocks on your door over the next few months?
But I don't want to hear promises, I don't want to hear false promises. Basically the truth that they're going to put the money where it's needed, into the health service, into the mental health service, into housing, into childcare, into youth centres, into things that people actually want and people actually need and people should be entitled to.
Paula's colleague, Eve Phillips, has lived in Cork for more than 20 years and for much of that time has been involved in community work. Before the last local elections, she became involved in an active citizenship programme. The aim was to encourage people to look at the issues that mattered to them and to use their vote.
Politics here is seen in a very traditional sense, okay, and in a very old-fashioned sense. And that you have to have, a certain amount of knowledge. You have to have maybe a bit of status before you can get involved in politics. And people forget that the decisions that are made politically daily are the things that are affecting us daily in our own lives. So whether or not your school is going to be kept open and you've got 20 or 21 teachers or 25 teachers, whether or not your local health centre is going to close. Okay, these are political decisions that are made and they don't necessarily have to be out of your control.
We heard earlier from some Fine Gael activists. I also spoke to three Fianna Fáil stalwarts in the North Central constituency. John Sheehan, who will be Director of Elections, Finbar Kiley, who specialises in crunching the numbers, and Pat Fenton, who will be running Noel O'Flynn's campaign.
The steps have already begun as far as I'm concerned. I've already had three meetings with the team, with the team leaders. I've had meetings with the people who are drawing up and compiling the posters. We have had a first view of the posters. We are in the process of making some minor changes. The financial team have been geared up to raise the, unfortunately, very limited funds that we're now allowed to spend on the election, quite apart from the difficulty of raising money anyway.
What now will be the next few steps over the next few months, presuming that the election is going to be sometime late spring, early summer?
Sure, well, as I said to you a few moments ago, perhaps May the 17th is a date to watch out there and put it in your calendar. The steps
have you got that from the horse's mouth now, or is that just you guessing?
The only horse, I think, is John and myself putting a few shillings on the side and hoping we might be right on the date. No, I have not got it from any horse, and I can assure you that the horse isn't speaking to anybody about any particular date, to continue the analogy.
And have you already done polls of the constituency?
Yes, and you're going to ask me what the result is, and I'm going to tell you with enormous respect that I'm not going to share that with you.
Why not?
I'll share it with anybody. Aid and comfort to the enemy is a sort of phrase that comes to mind. The poll that I do, I will sometimes share with a candidate and I will sometimes not. I keep it to myself, I commission it personally and independently. And if I were to release the statistics, it would be of enormous benefit to the other parties. Let them do their own polls, Rachel. Unfortunately, it's very much every man for himself out there in this tough political world.
If you won't tell me what's in it, will you tell me, were there any surprises?
I suppose what I could say to you is that there are always danger signals. I am aware of two candidates within the constituency who have done perhaps a little more work than I anticipated, which may translate into a slightly higher vote than I'd anticipated.
I seem to remember that Noel O'Flynn himself got into a bit of hot water prior to the last election on the immigration issue. Will you be advising him to stay quiet this time out?
The politician who doesn't get into hot water, and the politician who is just a yes man and not afraid to stand up for his constituents, is not much of a politician. That was totally blown out of, absolutely blown out of all proportion. Noel merely reflected what his constituents were saying on the ground, and for that he was flagellated.
We've heard a huge amount in recent times from community groups about the fall in the number of volunteers. So are the political parties experiencing the same problem?
I think this is a problem with all sort of voluntary sectors of society. What we find is that you will get people to volunteer for an individual rather than for a party or for a sort of a non-open-ended sort of time period. And I suppose that's one of the advantages of an election coming up. There's a bit of excitement with an election. There's a deadline to an election. There's a very specific role for an election. So that makes it easier to ask people to get involved and for people to come forward, because they know they might be 6 months, 9 months in it, and you know, things will quieten down a little bit after that. So that's sort of as a carrot, as it were. And people generally who do get involved in elections seem to quite enjoy it. They enjoy the canvassing, they enjoy the buzz of it, they enjoy being out with the candidates.
Not surprisingly, the other big talking point is the fallout from the Bertie Ahern controversy. Was Finbar Kiely, who keeps a keen eye on the opinion polls, surprised by the latest findings?
I was amazed, to be frank. I was amazed insofar as that I'm a trend person. It's been my professional life. And the trend for Fianna Fáil, take it, for example, since the 2002 election, through the MRBI polls, which were published in the Irish Times, has been that Fianna Fáil has been around 35 to 39%, as low as 31%. But I would have said that was a fair representation. I think that maybe 39 is a little on the generous side, and I think 35 is probably a little on the parsimonious side. So I would have said Fianna Fáil is in there, but that certainly does not put Fianna Fáil in a position where it is certain of gaining power again. And any Fianna Fáil activist or any Fianna Fáil candidate or any Fianna Fáil minister from the Taoiseach down who thinks that a poll, and I'm sure they don't think, and it's naive of me even to say this, who thinks that these polls really represent what's going to happen at the election, they're making a huge mistake. Get out there and practice and get out there and work, because it's only by working that you're going to get the seats.
So, when all the campaigning is done, how are the seats likely to fall? I'm here in a city centre hostelry with two observers of the Cork political scene. Joining me are Pat Brosnan, who's political columnist with the Irish Examiner, and Ralph Regal, southern correspondent with the Irish Independent. Pat Brosnan, are there any specific issues which you would say are kind of particular to the two Cork constituencies?
I said the most obvious one that is particular to the Cork South Central would definitely be the incinerator.
What about North Central, Ralph? Any specific issues there?
I think the issues haven't changed very much, Rachel. If you go back kind of 10 to 15 years, I mean, North Central would kind of view itself as probably the poorer relation. It reckons that it suffers more from economic disadvantage than, say, other parts of Cork or even Munster for that sake.
Let's look specifically for a moment at the South Central constituency. There are 5 seats. The boundaries have been redrawn somewhat. At the moment, there are 3 Fianna Fáil TDs, although it has to be said the last one got in by the skin of his teeth last time out.
Yeah, I think you underestimate the importance of Cork to Fianna Fáil over the last 10 years, I think, at your peril. I mean, there was 20 seats in Cork. In 97, Fianna Fáil took 11 of them. The last time round, they took 12, which is an incredible achievement for a government to actually increase their tally. They took 3 in North Central, they took 3 in South Central. Now, I covered the South Central count, or it was known to people was the never-ending recount, because Cathy Sinnott won the seat and then lost the seat following 2 recounts. And I think one of the things that stood out the last time was Fianna Fáil's vote management. Micheál Martin, who of course is the most high-profile TD in Cork, cabinet minister in health and now enterprise and employment, I think he got about 9,000 first preference votes in 97, but that went up to 14,000 first preference votes the last time round, and it was a performance that almost cost John Dennehy his seat, because the vote management really wasn't there. And of course you had the Fine Gael meltdown. So Fine Gael would traditionally have held 2 seats. There would have been 2 Fianna Fáil and 1 Labour by tradition. The last 2 elections you've had Fianna Fáil taking 3, Fine Gael dropped to 1, and the Greens' Dan Boyle made the big breakthrough. So I think the big questions the next time round will be, can Fianna Fáil hold 3? The difficulty being that, to use Ken Clark's phrase, one of their big beasts, Bat O'Keefe, was a junior minister, he's gone. He's gone to Cork Northwest, because Ballincollig, as part of the boundary review, has been hived off to Cork Northwest. Can they hold 3? Can Fine Gael make a breakthrough back? Of course, the Barry seat, the famous Peter Barry seat, his daughter Deirdre Clune lost that seat very narrowly. I think there was only 20 or 30 votes between herself and Simon Coveney, her Fine Gael running mate. And can Labour make a resurgence? Because Labour would have held a seat there for quite a number of years.
I think it's fair to say, Pat, that Fine Gael will be throwing everything at trying to get that second seat back in Cork South Central.
They will, but given the nature of the constituency, I doubt if the seats will change. They're putting Deirdre Clune along with Simon Coveney. Jerry Buttermore is going in there now. Jerry Buttermore, he's been quite successful on the city council, and he's living in the area. He's a teacher. He's involved in the GAA. He's on the county board. He'll do well, but obviously not win.
What about Dan Boyle? Is he safe?
I think he is, yeah. I think he is. He's high profile, he's very articulate, he's aware, and he was very deeply involved in the issue of the incinerator, and I think that will stand to him.
The other candidates, there's a new Labour candidate, I think Brendan Ryan traditionally used to run in South Central, he's gone, new name this time, and also John Minahan running in South Central for the PDs.
Yeah, I think the decision by John Minahan to run in North Central the last time, I think it took a lot of people by surprise. I think the Progressive Democrats were counting on the fact that a lot of the holdover from Maureen Quill's vote, that would go to John Minahan and that he would make a breakthrough. I think in ways John Minahan did a lot better the last time in North Central than people would have given him credit for. But I think they really read the tea leaves and thought that if he's to be realistic in terms of getting a seat, he has to go back to South Central, which is his traditional base. But I think it's very difficult. I agree very much with Pat. I think it's going to be a big ask both for Labour and for the PDs to make a breakthrough there. I think Dan Boyle is very well regarded. He's an exceptionally hard-working TD, and he's definitely going to benefit from the whole incinerator issue.
So are you saying no change as well?
No, I would think that probably the biggest risk will be to Fianna Fáil if Micheál Martin can transfer his vote a little bit better to his running mates. Michael McGrath, of course, is running for Fianna Fáil, so he would see himself as being the automatic replacement for Bat O'Keefe. But it will be a big ask for them. I think there's a lot of questions going to be asked of Labour. Recent opinion polls would probably indicate that it's going to be a huge task for Labour to win their seat back. But then again, you just don't know. I mean, nobody knows what the Sinn Féin vote is going to be like. And Sinn Féin have traditionally had a reasonable vote in areas like Tóker, so it's really all to play for.
Pat, let's move on to Cork North Central. It's dropping from 5 seats to 4 seats.
There again, it's unlikely to have any great change now. Sinn Féin will be targeting because they've done well with Jonathan O'Brien, especially in the City Council. And I think nationally, they will try to capitalise on their image nationally. Mick Barry of the Socialist Party will also be fighting very, very strongly up there. And you've got Kathleen Lynch of the Labour Party. So I think you will have a fight between the Labour Party and Sinn Féin mostly, and Mick Barry, and I think Kathleen Lynch shared it.
There's also a Green Party candidate, Councillor Chris O'Leary.
Yeah, Chris O'Leary has had a very high profile over the last 12 to 18 months because a lot of people would remember that he's based in Mahon, which is actually in Cork's South Central constituency, and he's a very high profile member of Cork City Council, and he was attacked, his home was attacked on 2 different occasions because of his stand on the anti-social or anti-social behaviour and ASBOs and various issues like that. The last attack was very serious. I mean, it was a firebomb attack which could easily have burned his house while his family were asleep upstairs. But I think the problem he's going to have is that North Central, a bit like John Minahan, it's not his natural base. I agree with Pat. I think that Sinn Féin is going to be the wild card there. I think if this had been 4 years ago or 5 years ago, there would have been a realistic chance of Sinn Féin taking the seat because it's a 5-seater. North Central is dropping down to a 4-seater because, of course, the way population trends have gone. I think the two Fianna Fáil are only running 2 candidates. They're running Noel O'Flynn and Billy Kelleher. They're 2 sitting TDs. It would be a shock. I mean, you'd be talking about a meltdown in Fianna Fáil's national support if any one of the two of them were to be in jeopardy. Fine Gael have Bernard Allen, very, very doughty campaigner. I mean, he's been a TD for a long, long time, former Minister for Sport. He should hold. Kathleen Lynch is the outgoing Labour TD, but I know that Labour have been very concerned about the growth in the Sinn Féin vote, very much like Pat said, and throw into that then the mix of how is Chris O'Leary from the Greens going to perform, where is his vote going to go, and also Mick Barry. I mean, Mick Barry with the Socialist Party, he shocked people in the last local elections. He actually topped one of the wards up there. He had a massive vote, and particularly while he may not be there for a seat, he could very well determine where the fourth and final seat goes.
So, Pat, 4 seats in North Central, would you call it?
I'd imagine it would be as is. The only thing I would say, which could change quite dramatically, would be when, by the time the election comes up, hopefully Northern Ireland will have settled down. The process, which the St Andrews Agreement may, like the election, Northern Ireland is an unknown quantity. So that could benefit Sinn Féin, but I'd still say that it'll be as is.
And that's it from the constituency for this week. If there's an issue you think we should be covering, you can email us at constituency@rte.ie. The programme will also be available as a podcast on the RTE website from next Monday. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie.